Cofield and Company.
Bang! Danny Green does it again! Turnaround jumpers up and good. Kyle Lowry lighting it up. He's got 23.
The Warriors got to help Steph Curry. He's too small to defend Kawhi Leonard. Aware and alert.
He throws it up. Oh, he puts it in. A rainbow from Van Fleet.
The Toronto Raptors have taken home court advantage back.
Now, here's Steve Cofield.
All right, here we go on this Thursday. Cofield and Company. Chrissy's here. Adam Hill. Much to get to. 3 hour show today. Glad to have the extra hour back. Our normal show following up another game in the NBA Finals. Tomorrow we'll be on the road. You'll hear about that throughout this show for game four. This has become a freaking awesome series. We'll break down the game in less than five.
It's time for The Three, presented by Cofield and Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3.
We start off with news that came down about 2 hours ago. Yesterday, we had talked about the non-con part of the UNLV Run and Rebel schedule coming out. Now the full schedule is out. Did you get a chance to look at it? Interesting oddity. Mountain West Conference season actually starts in December. Not late December, because in years past, it has actually started like 28, 29, 30. Did they play a New Year's Eve game one time?
Yeah, they did.
Really weird scheduling quirk. This time, a la the Big Ten, because the Big Ten the last couple of years has added games in December, and then teams go back to playing non-conference basketball, and then they go into conference play. December 4th, the Runnin' Rebels actually open Mountain West Conference play at Fresno State. Very unusual.
Yeah, and, you know, with conferences expanding schedules and finding different times to play and other teams having games booked at different times, especially, you know, late in December, other conferences looking for games, conference schedules are thrown around a little bit, and that's a new one. I think it's interesting to have a couple of games that early and just see, you know, kind of where you stand, jump into it, and then, you know, figure things out again. I think it could be beneficial to, you know, just see where you stand against conference opponents and then have some time to iron some things out before it gets into full swing.
That's a tough part of the schedule, as the Rebels will play at Cincinnati on November 30th, at Fresno December 4th, and then up into the belly of pure evil in Salt Lake, neutral but at BYU. Three in a row. Cincy, Fresno, and the Cougars.
Not easy. It'll certainly be a test, and, you know, with the roster being what it is and the process being where they are in terms of putting together the, you know, the team that they want here at UNLV, they'll find out real quick exactly, you know, where they are and how far they need to go. That'll be a good test.
Then the conference slate kicks back in on New Year's Day. Wednesday, conference favorite, I think, preseason conference favorite, at least mine, Utah State is in town. Then Air Force is in town. They only play Air Force once. They don't go up to Clune, which last year would have helped their season because they really got rocked at Clune with a weird 1,500 cadets showing out of nowhere, and they got real loud. But anyway, no Air Force game the second time around, and then at Boise. So that actually, if they're not playing good basketball, at Fresno, Utah State at home, Air Force at home, at Boise, because I think those are four of the top five teams before the season, four of the top six.
Yeah,
they better be ready to go, because otherwise they could get off to a very slow starting conference.
Yeah, I think San Diego State is going to be unbelievable. I think they're right now, I have to think, would be the clear favorite. Utah State's going to be really
ridiculous.
Good.
I mean, can you name anyone in the front court aside from Matt Mitchell?
No, but their backcourt is so good.
Well, they're bringing in a backcourt that combined average about 32 points a game at lower levels, but they still are in search for front court players.
Well, Malachi Flynn was on a lower level.
It's a good point. He was Washington State.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, compared to San Diego State, some would argue might be. But maybe. In terms of the play, Power 5, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, I think their backcourt is unbelievable.
I'll make that bet with you right now. You want to go? Because not one of us may get it, regular season champ, Utah State or San Diego State. I think there are other teams that could certainly slip in there. You want to take San Diego State? I'll take Utah State.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Mark it on the board.
Bet is on.
Oh, wait, you threw our board out.
I didn't throw it out.
Threw it in the hallway.
The people in this building rendered it useless. It got a little sloppy looking.
Well, you threw it in the hallway.
We're doing TV now, folks. We're doing video. We can't have all this slop on the wall, except for all the smudges and black marks. So we're just hanging anything we can to cover up.
The ones behind the microphones are fine, but the slop on the walls has to go.
Well, it's not in the shot.
Fair enough.
So later in the season, if you're looking for key games, you got New Mexico in town. These are key home games. New Mexico in town on January 18th. San Diego State the week after that. January 25th, in between those games, up at Reno and against Steve Alford. Sounds weird, right? And then back home against Reno on February 12th. So the slate is out. Bischoff had a great story. We've tweeted it out on ESPN Las Vegas and at Steve Cofield. It's up on LVSportsNetwork.com as well. Another college basketball note before we get to the NBA. Let's make it fast. I think this plays into what we've been pitched as T.J. Otzelberger's style. You know, four out, one in. Lots of three-point shooting. They took, top five three-point attempts. They were super efficient. A year ago, 3-3-3-3-3. Well, they're actually moving the line back in college basketball.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's beneficial. I mean, it helps you if your guys can, you know, adjust and make that shot and, you know, make it consistently and other teams have trouble adjusting to the line. It will help you. I think it more helps, you know, movement and maybe even teams that want to play inside a little bit to create some space to move the line back a little bit because, you know, it'll pull the shooters out, it'll pull the defense out, it'll give guys to operate underneath. I think it's the right move. I think the three-point shot had become too easy. I like it, but I think it'll be on teams to adjust and figure out who takes the most advantage of having that line moved and who can figure out how to make that work for their inside game and for their, you know, rotations and, you know, backdoor cuts and that sort of thing. It'll just give you more space to operate. But certainly if you're better at adjusting to the longer distance shooting-wise than other teams are, that'll be a huge benefit.
Game last night, Toronto. Boy, I'd like to throw some adjective on this, but I really can't. Takes a commanding, I guess that would be not an adjective, but commanding lead in the series, but I still have no idea who's going to play the rest of the way. But last night was crazy because Steph Curry was virtually unstoppable, has 47, and I didn't really think Golden State competed beyond Steph Curry. I felt comfortable the entire time. I'm rooting like hell against the Warriors, and I was kind of jerking around on the phone, looking up, you know, watching the game. I'm like, yeah, they're not making a run here.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like Toronto was in jeopardy?
No, not really. I thought there was little tiny stretches. Like when the third quarter started, I thought, okay, the Warriors have been really good at making third quarter runs. But I also I don't know how to say it. I don't think we should call them the Warriors. Like this is not the Warriors. It's like the California somethings.
Right.
Just
like in years past, we really shouldn't have called them the Cavaliers in the finals because the Cavs were beat to hell and lost key players.
Yeah.
So many people are standing up for the Warriors and their injuries, and you know, I'm not saying you're doing it, but not remembering how many times the Warriors were in series along the way to win their titles where somehow one of the key players on the other team went down for the entire series.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Love's out for the series. Here's Kyrie Irving. He's out for the series. It's pretty crazy that now it's coming back on them, but it's coming back like all at once.
Yeah.
No Klay Thompson last night. Were you shocked by that? They waited until 20 minutes before the game. We kept hearing during the pregame, Ramona Shelburne's like, all right, countdown to 20 minutes before the game, countdown to 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden she comes on, you know, like 18 minutes before the game. Klay Thompson is not going to play. And then you and I were sitting in studio at that point. We're like, oh, where's this line going to go? And it went from like 4.5, 4, down to 3, 2.5. From what we heard around town, people just kept pounding the Warriors at that point.
Yeah.
And once you started watching, you realize not only do the Warriors miss KD, but especially Klay Thompson offensively, but man, they were not good defensively. And when the other team, I'll get this from you. Was that three-point shooting the efficiency? 17 threes, and you know they didn't shoot 65 times to make the 17. Was that because the Raptors got hot or because Golden State's defense was just that debilitated?
Well, I think it was a little bit of both, certainly. The Raptors shot the ball really well, but I think the confidence was there to be able to shoot because there really wasn't much the Warriors could do defensively to stop them without so many guys. You know, Looney, a pretty solid defender. Klay Thompson, one of the better defenders. Durant is, I think, underrated as a defender. He's not great, but I think he's underrated. all those guys are out. And the Raptors had that confidence to be able to get open shots, and they knocked them down. And once you make a couple, you start to feel a little bit and make some more. And then you had, you know, guys like, you know, Van Vliet is just throwing shots at the rim somehow going in. It was kind of contagious on their end that they just kept making shots. And every time the Warriors did try to make a little bit of a run, Curry makes back-to-back shots, and then somebody throws one up and it goes in for the Raptors. So give them credit for making the shots. Certainly it was much easier defensively. I think it's ridiculous. I saw some Raptors fans yesterday like, we figured them out. We've got them. Like, you figured them out by getting rid of all of them. that's what you did. You didn't figure anything out. And by the way, if Klay Thompson does come back in game four, as the reports are he is, if Durant somehow plays, you didn't figure him out. You're going to lose. Like that's just
really,
what
you're
it
guaranteeing
is.
That.
If they can't walk, I guess that's different. If they play and they're anything resembling what they are, of course they're going to win the series.
I love how I will throw guaranteeing that at you, and then all of a sudden you get hesitant. Your first statement was, they're going to lose. That's a pretty definitive statement.
Yeah, if they play and they're anything resembling effective, then yes, the Raptors are going to lose. The Raptors can win the series if Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant either don't play or are nowhere close to 100%. They can. If the Warriors have their players, the Raptors can't win.
But that's not going to happen. So they're not going to be 100%, so you'll always have that excuse.
Not an excuse. So yesterday, Durant and Thompson didn't play. It's not an excuse to say they didn't win because they didn't play. That's why they didn't win. That's a reason.
It's a possible reason.
It's not a guaranteed reason. I get very annoyed at everyone that
always calls
excuses.
Well, because you make definitive statements saying that, you know, if the other guys are around, they're going to win.
Right.
So then that would lead me to believe that the Raptors would have no shot.
If the Warriors were at full strength, the Raptors would have no shot at the series, yes.
Okay. All right, you said it. Yeah. I don't believe that's the case. But from here, the Warriors backers, and I'm not saying you're a Warriors backer, but Warriors backers can always lean on the crutch of they're not going to be 100%. So no matter what happens, whether KD comes back or Klay Thompson is there, they can always lean on, well, they weren't 100%. So, sure. Like, it's sad, but... And I don't think most Raptors fans will care, and I don't think the Raptors players will care. But for the short term, because this eventually disappears, like many people will forget. But in the short term, most people will say the Raptors won the title, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think you see that a lot of times in a lot of sports and a lot of different years. And again, I don't think those are excuses. They're reasons. Like, that's what happened. If you're walking to work and somebody shoots you, like, why didn't you make it to work? I mean, the guy shot me. Well, that's a good excuse, I guess. No, that's a reason why I didn't make it to work. Somebody shot me.
Okay. We'll argue about excuses and reasons another day. On the way back, we got to get to Kawhi Leonard pregame and postgame. Very bizarre. During the game, he was unbelievable. He's typical Kawhi with 30 points. He was just an absolute monster.
The 3 is brought to you by Cofield & Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3. Steve is covering the drinks. It's a 3-hour open bar with $5 food. Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3. Now, back to Cofield & Company in the Findlay Toyota Studios.
In terms of how Kawhi has grown, I don't know, he was Finals MVP in 2014. So 5 years later, he's probably a little bit older and wiser. He's definitely older. I think he's wiser. I think he's seen more. But no matter how you slice it, he's been a superstar in this league, one of the top few players in the game for 5-6 years now.
Just always awkward, Kawhi. Compliment, brother. Steve Kerr's giving you a compliment. By the way, you're going to do it? Are you not going to do this every time now in the NBA? Come on, what were you talking about the other day? What did Steve Kerr just do?
What, the slight dig?
No. That was mostly positive. Tampering!
Oh, of course it is.
We set it up for you, Chrissy. Set it up.
Of course it is.
You can't say any... Doc Rivers on TV coverage talked positively about Kawhi Leonard, and you brought up the fact that you can't ask a question about any player because now the NBA could be like, hey, he's tampering. Hey, Kevin Durant could be gone. Draymond could go. Klay Thompson could go. Clearly, Steve Kerr's kind of laying the groundwork.
I forgot my own point. But yes. It's absolutely true. That's what this is.
It's not totally true. I think we're stretching it a bit.
No, it's not.
If the NBA wants to go here.
No, this is exactly.
Well, I think
it's
what
exactly
they could,
what Doc Rivers did.
I think what they could do. Well, Doc was working TV. I think what they could do is go, you know what? The coaches involved in the game can talk about the players involved in that game. They're exempt. But right now, you're a rule stickler. There is no rule saying that.
No, there's not.
Come on, Silver.
It should be. I would like to hear an explanation from the NBA of why it's not. Doc Rivers got asked a question about Kawhi Leonard and answered it. Steve Kerr got asked a question about Kawhi Leonard and answered it. There is not a difference. Like, or make the rule they can't go on TV. What are they supposed to do on TV? Hey, what do you think? What makes Kawhi Leonard so good? You know what? I'm not allowed to answer that at this point. And then is that tampering too? If you say I'm not allowed to answer that question, aren't you basically saying, like, hey, I'm going to say something really good that could be considered tampering, so I'm just not going to answer. You just have to sit there and be quiet and ignore the question.
So Adam and I were arguing earlier. It's one of our arguments. It's really no sense. The excuse versus reason. Bottom line on the Raptors side, yes, they're getting an advantage from so many Golden State Warriors being hurt, but they're also playing well in these games. 1-3, they played really well. Now they have to be consistent. So you saw Siakam again. He didn't have 30-plus, but he was very good in this one. Danny Green had a really good game. And, I mean, each time the Warriors could get within, like, 12, 11, down to 8, it seemed like Danny Green hit a big three. And this is part of what we've talked about with this Raptors team and why Masai Ujiri is so awesome. He should be running the Lakers. They should give him, if Magic got $10 million, Masai Ujiri should get, what, 20 or 100? Right? To bring 100. Him back from the dead. This guy, the little moves he makes, you know, Green wasn't the main part of the deal he came over in. It was Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
But you look at the guys who are out there, it's like, okay, there's Gasol, who's got high-level experience. There's Danny Green, who's got not only high-level experience, but a guy who's got, what, a final series where he had 27 threes? And you see guys come off the bench, and you're like, oh, that's right. The Raptors have that guy. You see guys play for the Warriors, and you're like, they have that guy? And some of the players are like, wait, what?
The same phrase, but a very different...
It's a different delivery.
Very different delivery.
It's a different delivery, but Danny Green was awesome. And I don't know what it is with FEV, Fred Van Vliet, but in game 1 and 3, when they need, like, end of the shot clock, miracle three, he hits it.
Oh,
again,
no.
Again, dagger.
Travel. That was a preposterous
play. I can't do the officiating thing after last night. After watching, as soon as I saw Steph Curry with 31 seconds left in the first half get a three-shot foul a foot into the forecourt, I'm like, stop. I don't want to hear about complaints anymore.
Well, I mean, there's bad calls both ways, but, like, to show that replay over and over again of that Van Vliet shot, and every single time show Kawhi taking four steps and then making a move, spinning around, landing after a jump and throwing the pass, you're like, how does no commentator ever, like, when you're showing ESPN showing the replay, look at the shot, Van Vliet late in the shot clock. Oh, by the way, Kawhi Leonard took 7 steps. But look at the shot. Like, nobody ever even mentioned it. Like,
you don't think Mark Jackson and JVG are tough enough?
I'm talking about, like, when you show the replay. I think in the heat of the battle, it's a little tougher to see. Now, I saw it right away, and I was screaming about it as I sat at a local restaurant watching it on my phone. I was screaming about it, and people were like, what's happening? But in the heat of the moment, it's understandable. I get it. Like, you watch the shot, and you're watching the ball. I wish they would have pointed it out a little bit more. I think Van Gundy might have mentioned something. But I'm saying, as you're throughout the night, I must have seen a highlight of that shot 30 times last night. Not once did I hear somebody say, like, oh, by the way, Kawhi Leonard, maybe a few extra steps on that one. Like, you know, they just never pointed out. That's what drives me nuts about, like, when we talk about officiating and everything else. I do feel like if people pointed these things out more, the refs would have to get better. Because I don't think the referees would allow themselves to be embarrassed like that over and over again and not correct it. So I think if you did that and you're showing the play and instead of focusing on the shot, you also say, by the way, the referee's here, that's inexcusable. You can't allow a guy to take that many steps and then throw a pass because it also does throw off the defense because the defense is playing you to have to do something after your second step because that's how you defend. And then when they take a third and a fourth, then you allow them to get open because you're not playing that third and fourth step. I've said this a million times. And so if they point it out like that, the referees would then say, you know what? We have to make sure that we're not embarrassed like that over and over again. We're going to make these calls.
Are you falling more and more, I'll use a strong term, in love with Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, come on.
And the oddity that is Kawhi?
Well, I mean, I'm obsessed with the fact that he's not a human being.
The laugh got us. That hooked us.
Of course. With everyone.
But then last night, there were a couple of different incidents. So the story circulates the last couple of days about Kawhi Leonard's weird talking game. It's not much of a game. You know, defensive stop, nope. But the thing that everyone latched onto was board man.
Pay the board man.
Pay the board man. Everyone loves pay the board man. That started back in high school and then in college. Pay the board man. And it became a phenomenon yesterday about how, you know, basically, how lame is this? He's just a weird guy. So I think it's Chris Haynes steps up from ESPN and he's like, you know what? I'm going to ask about
it was the BSO guy, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Robert Latal. Let's make sure that a guy in St. Louis gets credit, right? So Robert asked this question about Boardman and the internet craze around Kawhi.
On social media, but I don't know if you were aware that your catchphrase, the Boardman gets paid, is going very viral right now. And we just wanted to confirm, is that actually something that you said?
I used to say that back when I was in high school and college. You know, just wanting to get to this league. It's about, you know, working hard, basically. Outworking the opponent. You know, rebounds help you win games. Big rebounds, offensive rebounds, limiting the team to one shot. And, you know, that used to be our motto. Just, you know, some of us that were in college that was trying to get to this point.
Come on, Kawhi.
What a great answer. That was funny. He likes the internet. Oh my God! What just happened there?
He is
focused. He's gonna answer seriously, and that's what you're gonna get.
It's the one chance for like it's a fun viral thing. Everybody's laughing about it, joking about it. It's the one chance for you to have a little bit of fun. I know you don't like it. I know you don't enjoy fun. I'm a fun guy. No, you're not. I know you don't like all those things, but it's your one chance to show any kind of personality, have any kind of fun. You could just do something with it. Even scream it. Like, it's not anything. Anything, Kawhi. Give us something. Yeah, it was just a fun phrase about, you know, working hard, getting the rebounds, making you, you know, earn your paycheck, earn your way to this league. That's it. Come on, Kawhi. Help us out with something.
It felt like, because you are the man of 1,000 voices.
It's true.
We've heard Rich Little listens, and he's like, that's me in 2019.
This is the new generation. The torch has been passed.
I feel like that was just Belichick.
It was, kind of.
In a 6'7", 29-year-old.
That's fair.
They're close. They're close.
Is Kawhi human?
Before the game, I thought it was more odd than the postgame.
It was uncomfortable.
Because you're the master of discomfort.
True.
You're the master of awkward situations. I'll give you a good example, right? Before the show, I think I threw everyone off because I never say hi to anyone, right? Chrissy walks in and I was like, hey, Chrissy. And she's just like, kind of just head down. Time to go to work. I don't have time for frivolity, clown. So last night, Kawhi basically did the same thing as Chrissy. Was it Kyle Lowry or was it the guy from BSO? Kyle Lowry is standing in front of him, offering him, I think it was the left fist. And you can miss a fist. You can miss the opportunity for a fist bump because it's lower. It's maybe not as dramatic as driving in for the handshake, but Kawhi seems to look at the fist pump, right? The bump opportunity, and then just walks.
He stared at it for like a second, and he's like, yeah, I don't have time.
What do you think was happening? I don't have time. I don't know what that is. What should I do?
Well, even
Chrissy, what is it?
I feel like, you know, first of all, he gives depth when he wants to give depth.
Never.
And his cold metal hand might, you know, frighten somebody. And he might not be able to play in the game because they'll be like, you don't have a pulse, bro.
But I think it's that. But also, even on some small level, I know it's not much, but a fist bump is an emotional connection on some level. It's like it's a human emotion. It's not like an over-the-top, like, excited or celebratory.
Wait, there's a commitment?
But it's just, no, it's more just like...
It's like a respect
I see you. Like, I you know, respect each other. That's an emotion. He doesn't have emotions.
Oh, okay.
He's like, yeah, I'm not
He doesn't have those.
That.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have those.
Like, he doesn't need to get excited for the game. Or, like, he's just a cyborg of a being. Like, I saw a comment from Kawhi today, a quote from today's press availability. I had to look it up. Because I saw somebody tweet the quote, and I said, okay, That is so robotic that even Kawhi wouldn't say it, but that is, that's a perfect embodiment of something Kawhi would say, but that it's a joke from somebody that Kawhi would say. So I looked it up, and it was true. They said, how big would, you know, a win be tomorrow in game four for you guys? And he said, well, it'd be a third, and you got to win four to win the finals. But is that real?
It is real.
Like, okay, but that seems like something you would make up that Kawhi said that he didn't really say, but apparently he did say it. That's just what he's, there is zero emotion. He's not a person.
Let's go from zero to like 1,000, whatever you measure emotion in. Stephen A. Smith finding out the news or tapping into the rumor that Kyrie Irving may not go to the Knicks set him off, and the domino effect from this is going to push him over the freaking edge.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company right here on ESPN Las Vegas. Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studios.
Damn! Damn it! Damn it!
Typical Knicks, man. I knew it. They get close. They tease us. Then they wouldn't get it done. Ow! 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 Ow!
Been a very frustrating couple of weeks for Stephen A. Smith. He's getting ready for the free agent bonanza. Maybe. That was after the lottery fell the wrong way for the Knicks and they didn't get the number one pick, and you heard, ah, ah, ah. Is that the noise, Chrissy? Close?
Close.
Damn it! He's a very frustrated man. You like the fact, I mean, this show has to, right? You like the fact that he does have his teams that he roots for. Now, whether you believe the energy behind it is real.
Yeah, because I don't think he's a reporter.
Okay. So, well, I mean, saying there's anything wrong with it.
No, I think he's an analyst, and he's basically a columnist and an opinion maker, so you're fine having teams you root for.
Sure. But you beat writers, you can't.
No.
Can't express that you're a fan of the Bills or Tygod Taylor or the Chargers or the Browns.
I'm not a fan
or...
of any team now.
Wait, now you're out completely?
I cover the Raiders.
Oh, that's breaking news. So there's the Charger thing is over.
I don't have a favorite team.
Can I have your Chargers team or a hat?
It's too big for you.
SO might be able to wear it. She's got big hair.
We can put it on this.
I give it to the SO.
John Gruden bobblehead.
That'd be a nice gift.
Yeah, sure.
Nice gift. Stephen A. does know what's coming, right?
Oh, the disaster?
Like, we all know this is going to happen. You and I have been talking about this. We've been trying to tell Adam Candy, who's a fill-in as part of the company, like, you're the Knicks. It's not going to work out. So you're getting all excited. It's not going to work out. So I don't know where he was yesterday. It sounded like he was at a restaurant, just a busy area. I love these. Like, what they do on First Take is brilliant. It's a great show. But Stephen A., when he just decides to turn on his phone and run video, it's freaking awesome. So this is where he first reveals to the public that Kyrie Irving is really strong on going to New York City, but maybe not the right spot.
What I'm hearing is that Kyrie Irving wants to be a Brooklyn Net and may try to convince KD to be one. KD will probably say no.
Okay. We will get to Stephen A.'s definitive take on what will happen with Kevin Durant in this domino effect. But what do you think of that news right there? Chris Broussard talked about it yesterday on Fox Sports National, which you can hear over on our sister station, 1340 and 98.9 FM. Rick Bucher had talked about it last week. Kyrie Irving, not to the Knicks, to the Brooklyn Nets. And by the way, should I do this? You should punch me in the face if I say it. Well, don't punch him.
Well,
give
your
me
Nets.
A look.
Your
yeah,
Nets?
Yeah, yeah. My Nets! No, they're not really my Nets anymore. Traders moved across to Hudson. The Nets today traded Alan Crabb, who, believe it or not, makes a lot of money. And the notion is the super team cap space is here. Kyrie Irving to the Nets.
I think the problem is, I think Kyrie's going to the Nets. I do. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of smoke there and they're clearing space for him. But I think all these people that are Kyrie and another superstar, either Durant or, you know, Kawhi, somebody, they're bringing somebody in. And I don't know that anybody's going to want to go play with Kyrie. I don't know that that is going to happen.
Oh, really?
I think it's good. I think the other max deal they have is going to be D'Angelo. I think they could attract him, but I don't know if that works with Kyrie. That seems like a weird mix, to be somewhat similar. So I don't know how that comes together, but I can't imagine somebody jumping at, I'm going to go play with Kyrie and sign a max deal there with him.
So you're worried about the magnetism, the draw of Kyrie Irving and also the way he plays. And I get your point on the position thing, you know, ball in hand, Kyrie and developing star, D'Angelo Russell need to have the ball in their hand.
But it's also, and there's also the dynamic of the Nets are the Nets. And do you change it?
Mm.
Can you go change it?
Should I make that noise again?
Yes.
Mm. Hold on. There is, because we're talking Knicks and Nets here, really.
Yeah.
There is a difference with ownership. Now, we can state the obvious. Dolan is a jackass.
Yeah.
The Nets are owned by a Russian oligarch and then one of the richest men in China. Now, the Russian oligarch did what in the past with, say, like, Kirilenko?
The illegal contract?
Alleged.
Yeah.
It seemed fishy when Kirilenko could have collected tens of millions of dollars in a contract and took nothing in a deal from the Nets. Why can't Andre, check that, why can't Prokhorov just pull a Kraft?
Massage? I know what you mean.
Not a massage.
The promise of future...
I'm sure in Russia, Prokhorov can get any massage he wants and is absolutely not being spied on. Well, he might be, but he's so rich that they're not going to do anything to him. No, I mean, the extra incentive, which is just bust through the cap.
Yeah, the future promises.
The side bucks.
Yeah, makes sense.
Bust through the cap was not a pun for anything that goes on in a massage room.
It could be.
Don't shake your head, Chrissy.
That's what she
I said. Was not trying to be sicko there. Give me some more Stephen A. on the, for him, the bad news that Kyrie may snub his Knicks.
These are the kind of things you're hearing just because you heard that Kyrie Irving is interested in being a Brooklyn Net instead of a New York Net. Now, if I'm KD, I'm flexing my muscle. I'm saying I'm the man, you my dog. Let's go to New York together, to the Garden.
Is that going to work? Hold on, baby. KD, look at this. Flex the muscle.
That's ridiculous.
You my dog. Let's go to the Garden. I think I mixed Boston and New York there.
Yeah, that's fine. I do think the Kyrie thing to Brooklyn makes a ton of sense. I just don't know if he's going to start a trend of everybody going there and everybody jumping on with him. And I do, as much as it's ridiculous, I think people are going to go play for the Knicks just because they want to play for the Knicks. I think Durant is going to the Knicks.
And you said that all along.
And the trade offer I saw today to get Anthony Davis to go play with him, it's probably at least interesting for the
what
Pelicans.
Was it?
The three, a future number one, and looking at their roster to see it again, it was Dennis Smith Jr., Kevin Knox, and there was one other player on there, Mitchell Robinson. Two firsts. And those three players for
right.
Anthony Davis.
Still behind the Lakers deal.
I don't know. It's pretty good.
Well, if the Lakers deal is every one of their young guys and the pick, that deal's better.
It's two number ones? I guess the next number one wouldn't be great if they get Durant and Davis.
Right.
It's intriguing.
Well, it's in the mix because as we talked about, old Lady Benson said, you know, over my dead body.
She denied it.
Oh, she denied it now. Yeah. She said, over my dead body is Anthony Davis going to the Lakers.
I think yesterday she said that was a ludicrous statement.
Which part? Did she get freaked out by the dead body part?
That she ever said that.
Okay.
Or that she's ever going to die because she's a zombie.
Stephen A's meltdown closes.
Kyrie's his own man himself, and who knows what he'll be willing to do. We just don't know right now. It was a foregone conclusion. Supposedly, they were both going to the Knicks. Now, it could be up for grabs. I don't know what the hell is going on. I just don't know. But I do know this much. I'm scared as hell because I'm a Knicks fan at the end of the day. and it looks like things might go the wrong way. Damn it!
Only one damn it. Okay. Do you listen to the language that goes on? It's not Adam Hill guaranteeing victories, but it's pretty close. He said it was a foregone conclusion, supposedly, that Kyrie and KD were going to the Knicks. A foregone conclusion, supposedly. Is that something you would write?
No. But when you're talking, sometimes you just start saying things. You don't really know what you're saying. Happens all the time.
Everyone knew that these two guys were going to the Knicks. No, they didn't.
Well, I was.
You didn't know. No one knows what KD is going to do. He's been playing with people the entire season. There's no foregone conclusion. There never was a foregone conclusion.
Well, I never believed that Durant wanted to play with Kyrie.
Okay.
But I do think Durant has always wanted to go to the Knicks. Of course, things change. Like, you can't do it. Like, until it happens.
Right.
But I think right now, if you said, hey, you have to make your decision in the next 5 minutes, he would be on the Knicks. But
I like this world of predictions where, but it could change.
Well, you can't do anything right now.
I guarantee.
Knicks might not want him.
That they're... Now, that's funny. Can you imagine last minute? Dolan's like, hey, Adam, I don't like his vibe. We're going to ask him to shave off the goatee. We're anti-goatee. You remember this actually did happen in basketball history. And it actually happened to a team that was not in a similar situation of losing forever, but a team that assumed, hey, we're us. Of course, people are going to come here and want to play for us. And it was the Bulls trying to, you know, bridge the gap from the MJ era and Jabba the Bull, Jerry Krause. Thank you. I'm on the air. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jabba the Bull supposedly told Tracy McGrady, we don't like your hair. No cornrows. Not in this organization.
Our stars.
That is something I could see James Dolan doing.
Our stars are bald.
Yes.
That's how it's always been done.
That's how it was done, yeah. And that's how it will be. Now, if you put on 400 pounds and you're morbidly obese, then we're good with that.
That's fine.
Probably won't work on the floor, but T-Mac, if you want to gain a lot of weight, look right here. You're good to go.
I mean, yes, you never know what owners are going to decide or how it's going to play out. But, yeah, I think that was his plan to go to the Knicks, but you're not allowed to do it. You can't do it until the end of the year, so we'll find out what happens.
More definitive guarantees from Adam Hill and Stephen A. Smith coming up on Kyrie Irving, KD, in the 5 o'clock hour. You know, on social media, you'll see... Let me start again. In local radio, right, you'll get a whiff of something they're talking about there. Like, I'm sure people outside the market here are like, what's this soccer stadium thing? Like, I don't know. That a big story? Like, yeah, in Vegas it is. So, the last couple of days in Boston, I kept seeing this Tom Terrific, Tom Terrific, Tom Terrific. Is that the way it is?
Yeah.
Right? Tom Terrific. And I'm like, what is happening? I'm hearing lawsuits. Like, what? Trademarks? Yeah, apparently Tom Brady tried to trademark a new nickname and it turned into this big deal.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
Do you care what others think, say, and are writing? You're getting pummeled, Don. Maybe not here tonight, but across the country. Do you care?
I think as a human, you care what people think. I certainly care what the people that are close to me think and what they care about. I think also as a public figure, you learn that there's not everyone's going to like you either. Good, bad, indifferent, there's a lot of people that don't like Tom Brady, and I'm okay with that. I have teammates that I love and support, that love and support me. I have fans, I have family, I'm very blessed.
Receptive audience. I'm sure wanted a knife. Jim Gray in a back alley after that one. Actually, Jim Gray doesn't have to say anything to elicit that kind of response. Tom Brady. I don't know what's going on. The last couple days, I keep seeing arguments. We got to get to a good argument, by the way, that's going on. Attack Dogs shicked on one of the members of the LV Sports Network. We'll try to get to that inside of 15 minutes. But I kept seeing this Tom Terrific thing over and over and over again, right? So what did Brady try to do? Because, like, growing up in the New York area, hearing, especially for me, because, you know, Tom Seaver was kind of winding down his career in the mid to late 80s all through. I think he threw a no-hitter with the White Sox. But, yeah, you remember him as a New York Met. He was one of the announcers. Tom Terrific. That's it. There's no debate. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, I guess any Tom can be Tom Terrific, but that's the guy. And then all of a sudden, is Brady trying to do Tom Terrific as a nickname?
Well, people have been calling him that.
Have you ever seen him called that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think actually one of the announcers did it after a touchdown at some point, and it became a thing. So people have been calling him that. Now, he applied for a patent on it. I'm sure his lawyer did. I'm sure he didn't actually file the paperwork, but he applied for a patent on the name Tom Terrific, and now people have been going after him. Like, what are you doing? That's Tom Seaver. That's not you. First of all, I can't imagine getting that worked up about somebody applying for a patent for a goofy nickname, but people have been.
You do understand Tom Seaver is an icon in New York, iconic Met, New York hates Boston. Kind of makes it easy.
Yeah, of course. So I get on that level. But there's bigger things to worry about, I'm sure. In this case, people are worked up. Now, Tom Brady was asked about it, and he actually, it sounds like a goofy answer, but I think there could be some validity to it. So he said the reason he's applying for the patent is because he hates it, and he doesn't want people to call him that, and he wants to make sure he owns the rights so that nobody could actually, like, make a merchandise or do anything with it. He said, it's unfortunate. I was actually trying to do something because I don't like the nickname, and I wanted to make sure nobody uses it because some people wanted to. I was trying to keep people from using it, and then it got spun around to something different than what it is. Good lesson learned, and I'll try to do things a little different in the future.
Wouldn't it be worse if he got the, I think it's a trademark, right? If he got the trademark, and he would what? Then start serving people papers because they wanted to make Tom Terrific t-shirts? Wouldn't that be a worse look for him?
Right, but I think
they're just letting people do whatever they want with a nickname that you may not like.
Well, I think what he would
hope,
was
this really just a lawyered up thing where they're like, hey, we can make money off of this. Let's stop allowing people to use a nickname that we think is pretty common for you.
If you take
do you believe this?
If you yes, because I think usually the sillier the reasoning, the more likely it's probably true. Like, it sounds kind of silly to most people, but then I think when you go deeper, you're like, yeah, that could make a lot of sense. And in this case, I don't think he'd want to get lawyered up and start suing everybody that tries to use it. I think what the hope is, you get the trademark on it, and then before anybody produces something, they look it up, and they're like, oh, it's trademarked, I can't use this. And then it just doesn't become a thing, if that's the case. Now, you just have to, if you're going to go with this, you have to take it at face value on some level and be like, okay, I guess that makes sense. Or you can just attack Brady and say, now you're just trying to do damage control, this is idiotic. I also don't know that he would have addressed it this directly. Like, that's not really his MO. Like, he usually just talks around things and says cliches and
the off season. He's more loquacious in the off season.
Okay. I think if this was a real thing that he got caught, he would just kind of let it die. In this case, he actually wants to come out and say, like, no, this is what happened. This is where I'm at with this.
Lately, we've been talking about atrocities that have been going down with parody accounts, other stuff on Twitter. Today, boy, Ryan McKinnell, one of our guys in the company, just got completely blitzed by the Clay Travis Army. We'll get to that. And also a question about throwing food on your mate. Can you actually get arrested for just pouring ketchup all over your significant other?
Cofield and Company will be back in 90 seconds. Keep it here on ESPN Las Vegas.